Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap. Don't forget to drop a lovely juicy 5-star rating if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Hope you enjoy and let's get into it.
Welcome back to The Last Lap Podcast, everyone. Post-race Saudi Arabian Grand Prix 2023. Niren, Matt, Mahad, boys. Good to be chatting once again. How are we feeling after that race? Because it wasn't a worldie, was it? Let's be real.
It was... No, it was one of those, you know, one of those goals that goes in and you're like, sort of deflects off like four different people. It was like, okay, it was action, but it wasn't.
Especially considering you had like, you know, Charles starting P12, Max starting P15. I thought this was going to be a worldie, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's a little bit like what you were saying before. It's like, we're going on holiday. Yes, where to? Butlins. It's like, it's just, God damn it. We thought it was going to be a good one. And we were saying just before we were recording that there was a really great F2 sprint, which is normally a bad sign that it's going to be a boring F1 race. And apart from Max coming through the order, which even then there was just basically DRS overtakes. There were a few battles which were okay, but yeah.
It was one of those stereotypical engine penalty races where someone just ends up at the back, but they just drive through everyone. And then that's like the only thing that's like tangible about the race.
Yeah.
The one genuine bit of excitement for me was Lance Stroll's move at the start on Carlos Sainz. That was absolutely unbelievable.
Around the banking.
And then his car just gave up.
It's just one of those races where you kind of knew what was going to happen when Verstappen's P15, but you thought it was going to be a bit different. It's Saudi, there might be red flags, there might be some crashes, but it was just quite straightforward with the DRSs and just another Red Bull one.
Yeah, no crashes as well.
Yeah,
no crashes.
Yeah,
they've actually learned the circuit now.
Yeah,
made it safer.
it's like when F2 first went to Baku, and everyone was just crashing all over the place.
The safety car we did get was for Lance's car just broke down.
But so even then, he knew exactly where to drive to get it off as quickly as possible,
and it barely needed any time to get it off track. No, I think it's look. Obviously, Red Bull did look very, very quick. Got fastest lap as well. Max Verstappen took it from Sergio at the end. Certainly a little bit of you could hear the team radio kind of coming into the end of the race. Checo wanted the team, he clearly didn't trust that it would just be allowed to, like, they could both just lift off, because Max was more than 15 seconds clear of Alonso in P3.
Yeah,
like we were talking beforehand about, oh, what if Max, and there's something we've still heard from that. You know, Perez going mad at the end. There's a good picture of Jos Verstappen just sat there, just like
completely safe. Yeah,
cold. Black's there. My son has not won.
Yeah,
it's there.
And that's what he did at
Max. I think we've also got I think it's a good fun narrative to have of, like, you know, there could be a thing between Max and Perez. But we also got to remember that this was taken away from Perez last year, and it's a bit of redemption now. So anything which he can do to regain a race which he should have won last year, and even though I think that's a weird one where the team call came through, like, okay, we need you to reach, I think it was like 33 seconds sort of extra on your lap, and Verstappen was on 32.50. It's like, well, why are you clearly then making it a bit slower?
That paranoid, which I thought was that the team
totally. Were... But you would do, but I think obviously he's just thinking to himself, like, I'm not going to let this one be lost on me.
But also, I don't think that's unique to, oh, it's just like, I think you get that with, I mean, Russell was, you know, Leclerc wanted to get past Sainz, he wanted to be let past, he was moaning a bit. Yeah. Russell was. Oh,
anytime Leclerc is ever behind Sainz.
Yeah. Like,
first thing you hear on the radio.
I'm not going to play this down. I think something's there between Checo and
Max.
Going all the way back to Monaco and the rumors of crashing on purpose, and then the old Brazil radio.
That's where it's all started from, isn't it?
I feel like there's a tension there. And
there's definitely a tension, at least, yeah.
And even if you think about Bahrain, when you heard about the radio, when they told Max to kind of chill out, slow down, and he said, I'll only do that if Checo does. There's like a paranoia there going on between them.
I think it's something which, like, they don't, will never address to one another like we are here.
Yeah.
But it only really comes out when they're on track. So, like, they're very amicable when they're, like, together doing media duties or what have you. But then, as soon as you're in the car, that's when it's kind of like, cool, I'm in my own lane here. Now I can be a bit almost, feisty.
Yeah, there's almost like a petty sort of like lack of trust.
Like non-verbal communication.
Yeah. Which is actually worse, I think. If you actively go, I'm not going to lie, don't get on with my man. I think that's actually...
Just get everything out onto the table.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if it's, you just go out on track and then...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And look, you look at Bahrain, the gap between, you know, how much was... You know, Perez, Verstappen you know, Verstappen won comfortably.
Yeah.
Perez wasn't that close, but also, you know, was their management involved in some way, shape or form? It's impossible to say when they're that far clear, how much of that gap is actually like real pace and how much of that is management. Also, you know, qualifying in Bahrain was very tight. Max had his issue yesterday, fair enough, but like Perez stayed ahead. Like Max got up to P2 and he didn't just reel him in and overtake him.
Mm. Like Belgium.
Like, and I know Max was concerned about nothing like Belgium.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think as well, like you've got 1 point between him in the Drivers' Championship now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Perez is,
but I think Max
stepping
did,
up, like true. Seemingly.
However, I would say though that Max in this race has clearly shown that he... When he's only finishing, you know, how far behind? It was like...
Five and a half seconds or so.
Which, you know, coming from 15th and to them finishing only 5 seconds behind. I mean...
The safety car helped.
The safety car, though,
yeah, it's definitely helped by the safety car, totally. But at the same... It's still part of the strategy. So you can't fully knock him. I do think Max would have out-qualified ahead of Perez. I agree. And then would have just gone off completely into the distance.
You probably
otherwise.
Get like a 15-second win.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
obviously, there's a... talent gap between Perez and Verstappen. You know that Verstappen's the better driver than Perez, but if you're in Perez's situation, he's going to think, oh, this is my opportunity, I could win a championship, I'm in the fastest car.
Yeah.
Let me try my best in this situation to even do some mind games or try to disturb the situation where I could possibly gain an advantage so I can have my shot here. Even though he may feel some paranoia that the team is swayed towards Verstappen.
Well, he owes that to himself, doesn't he? And like... However this season ends up, like he's just got to, like you say, this is his opportunity. Like this he's won a race now. Like he's ticked that box. Next thing is now a championship.
Yeah.
Like, once you've ticked that win a race, like some drivers never even got on the podium.
Yeah.
Like Nico Hülkenberg, for example. So then win a race. And then as soon as you've done that, once that itch is scratched and you look at Sergio, you know, he's in his 30s now. He's probably not going to get another seat like Red Bull, the opportunity, like, because it's a huge opportunity.
The fact he even got Red Bull was so lucky for him as well. Because remember, he was
in that drive.
And it's literally just purely on one of the bases of that, his last rated with Racing Point, he won it, obviously, which was, even that was completely fluky anyway. That's kind of like the, Tomo, you're
breaking news.
Oh, was that breaking news?
Oh, Lord.
Alonso's been given a 10 second penalty.
What?
So he drops off the podium. And George Russell.
And is that,
which means my prediction. Perez, Verstappen, Russell, spot on. Well done,
mate. Wow.
Have some of that.
But then I also called it. You can go back on the logs here. I called it because they were obviously reflecting the penalties of what happened with Ocon before. And we went from 5 second penalty with Ocon before to a 10 second because they started it too quickly. And it's because of the rear jack person touching it. I thought that was the case.
Yeah, you did say that.
And it's because.
Oh, so it's 100.
Because it wasn't even the jack putting it under the car and actually lifting it. It's more just getting in position and then doing it. So he's literally on that rear jackman, unfortunately.
So Alonso moves back to P4.
Yeah.
And with that time penalty, Hamilton was only 0.3 behind Alonso.
So
if Lewis had put 0.3 quicker at the end.
There wasn't really a talk of it being a 10-second one. It was just like, oh yeah, it'll be fine.
I think that is what Ocon got in Bahrain.
I think it is.
And then it basically just adds on and on and on and on, basically.
So it was touching the car too soon.
Yes.
The fact that's happened twice in two races.
That's really
never seen it's that. A rare one.
So the one with the mechanic in Bahrain was, we couldn't really see it, but the FIA have cameras basically across. Basically, you know the shot in Drive to Survive when it looks down on they have basically like a 180 lens so they can fully look over everyone who's touching it.
Yeah.
But in this one though, it was the TV cameras. You literally see it on the feed of the rear jackman touching the car. Mm. The rule is you can't touch it whatsoever. You can't even move your, basically your leaf blowers to cool down the engine brakes and you can't even do that because it's still
but the problem that I know Otmar Szafnauer was saying about Alpines is like their internal clock system they had was off. So it was the mechanics weren't doing anything they weren't being told to do.
Yeah,
it's like they saw it being, you know, 5 seconds, so then they acted. And so I don't know what Aston Martin's excuse is.
It's just unfortunately that's pinned on the rear jackman. I'm real sorry, but
it's
clear as day, unfortunately.
Yeah,
It's literally the two same penalties. The only thing you didn't get was the pit lane speed.
It was almost identical to Ocon.
And we thought we'd never see that
again. And the only other one was speeding in the pit lane, wasn't it?
That was when he came in to then serve the second one.
Yeah.
That is 100 podiums.
Yeah, boy, it was.
Now it's 99.
You now know exactly what's going to happen. I think Formula One put out a graphic showing that, which they made of 100 graphics.
They should have waited.
But now, they're going to get a load of tweet replies saying F1 struggle.
And you know, F1 struggle should eat good. You know,
he might be the first person to ever hit 100 podiums twice.
There we go.
At least that. Do you know what I mean? You know?
It's true. Technically, he still got the podium. It's kind of being on the podium, which he did still do.
Does the Wikipedia say?
That's why I always ask myself.
Don't have to necessarily finish third, but he was on the podium.
Yeah, no, okay.
So it could still work out.
That's the sort of thing he would definitely argue about.
I have
100 podiums. I was there.
Fair play to, like, the thing is, right, I know Red Bull do seem to have disadvantage at the moment. Clearly, I mean, not seem to, obviously, right? But
pretty black and white
with the ATR time, and Aston Martin have got almost twice as much as Aston Martin have got 100%, Red Bull have got 62%, 62.5%, I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, the more that Aston Martin can pick up points at this start of the season when they are off the Red Bull. And hopefully by the end of the season, that ATR penalty will start to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if Red Bull run away with it at the start of the year, then they might have a bigger, like kind of Braun 2009. They started really strong.
We've also got to remember last season, like the team who was starting off really strong wasn't even Red Bull, it was Ferrari. And then basically towards the second third of the season, that's when Red Bull really started coming in. Because obviously Ferrari won the opening sort of races, and also Red Bull actually had reliability issues with the engine fuel pump, basically. So although we are seeing some dominance here from Red Bull in the first two races, that doesn't necessarily write the whole season straight away.
Yeah. That's the thing. If the Aston upgrades, if Aston can do what McLaren are talking about being able to do.
McLaren, let's not rule McLaren 2.0 out of this after Baku. You never know.
It could be a rocket ship. You never know.
But do we think Aston Martin is likely to be the team to challenge? I guess that's the thing, right? We've seen two races now.
I feel like they have the advantage over the other teams because they have that so much.
And they've got that ATR time using that yet.
Yeah.
So that means they can bring developments to every race. New upgrades and so on, so it could get to the point where they may be very, very close to Red Bull at the end of the year.
They also just have better race pace as well than Ferrari.
Ferrari really struggled in this one. Yeah,
but no, I mean, they've lost out on, what's the difference between P3 and P4 in points? 3? Is that 15 and 12? Yeah, 15 and 12. Like, okay, 3 points doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm just saying if...
Stroll retired as well.
Yeah, and Stroll retired as well. Exactly. So like, I've had a bit of a stinker in terms of points. You look back and you think, okay, if Aston Martin are going to be this team to, you know, they've got seemingly the second best overall package right now, and they've got all this ATR time about to come that they've not even started utilising yet, then that 3 points plus Stroll retiring, because, I mean, again, your predictions before the race for the live show,
Stroll fifth
for the last lap so you can watch the live shows. You almost got it. Like, if Stroll didn't break down, I think you're pretty much nailed it.
And I think the car is there. The car, it looks comfortable, second car at the moment, in terms of race pace anyway. So if they have that advantage in terms of development throughout the year as well, over Mercedes and Ferrari, they could make a bigger gap and close that gap to Red Bull. So they're setting themselves up for a better year even next year.
I think they're the best hope. If you want, from a neutral point of view, I want a championship battle to the end. I don't really give a fuck which team's fighting.
I don't care, honestly, just want action. Really, all I'm here for.
And Aston Martin seemed like the best hope. So
yeah, I've gone full neutral this season, obviously, because like my guy's gone. So I'm kind of a bit like, I don't really want to follow McLaren because I wasn't really a fan of them before. For like Red Bull's kind of been the only closest one before that afterwards, and I'm not really a fan of Mercedes either. So I'm very much like now just kind of floating around. And yeah, the only one that's truly got me kind of excited for it is Aston Martin. Yeah. And again, like, it's great seeing Alonso up there. It's also really great. Also Stroll doing some good performances, like we said.
Stroll was having a great race.
He was having a great race.
I'm sorry, that move on Science was crazy.
Yeah, it was sick. It was absolutely sick. And you've got to give credit to where credit's due.
It's like bigger rear view mirrors.
Mm.
Bigger rear view mirrors this year. That was always his problem. Spatial awareness.
Because
he used to drive like nobody was there, like next to him. You didn't see them.
But so now the mirrors are
off. Now it's fine.
But now the mirrors are too big, so Alonso can't even see with the box where he's driving in.
Jesus, bad mistake.
Like people were on Ocon for that.
But the thing is,
last
that,
time.
And like inadvertently, that lost him the podium.
Yeah.
If we're going to be totally honest, because the other penalty doesn't even happen if he actually just fucking passed.
The butterfly effect of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it didn't affect any part of the race. He would have stayed where he was.
Fernando Alonso has started more races than anyone ever in the history of the world ever.
Yes, yeah.
Like, you can't do that, man.
He's done it how many times? He's gone into position.
He's done this more than anyone.
I'm really confused. Maybe just because obviously when you're in the car, the only thing they can really see, that's why they have like the yellow line going across. At least you know where to put your front tyres. But the fact he must have just misjudged it or something, or maybe thought
the minor lapsing.
So now on some circuits, the actual box is wider than others.
Yeah.
The actual grid, I think it's in Brazil where the actual grid box is a lot shorter in width than other tracks or something. But I don't think that's going to be an issue here. But I'm sure like Sam Collins or F1 are going to analyze it and figure out what went on because.
Yeah for two drivers in two races, that's. Maybe it's the mirrors are too big.
It's just little LEDs in like the ground or something. Like, you know, like the flights. When you get in an airplane,
the lights go green when you're in, and it's red.
A little bit like what they have on the F1 game. It's like it's got red, green, purple. Nope, it's going too far.
They actually need that.
But it's a bad error.
And the other 19.
And it's a bad error with the.
The other 19 got it right.
So. Doesn't gain you anything. I saw people say that in the chat.
During the live show.
It doesn't gain you anything, but at the same time.
Rules are rules.
You have to park there, bro. You can't just
get rid of the formation lap.
You can't just like across the whole line.
You can park there. So.
Yeah, you can. You can't.
With all my parking tickets, I wish I could park anywhere. Yeah. Alonso.
Well, so if we're saying that Aston Martin is the team we have the next most faith in, you know, you've got to look at Ferrari and McLaren with. A lot of like they've both had well Ferrari in particular I think can come out of this weekend more sad I think than I mean I guess Leclerc taking that penalty which was their it's their engine, you know what I mean, it's their car that they've, it's not like they're like when McLaren have like engine issues, well that's a Mercedes engine and they've only got
or you know like Lando running over like debris from Piastri is like that's not his fault that he had
is
to
that
over.
Confirmed is that what
I believe that's what, I think when we were looking over the live chat I think that's what the issues were, like he had damage to his floor and then control and whatnot.
But just disaster show.
Well, let's talk about Ferrari first though.
Let's go.
Obviously, Leclerc making his way through, getting caught at Niren. You look like you've had enough, mate.
I'm just so depressed.
You've got nothing left.
For audio listeners only, Niren is looking very sad.
Deeply.
It's actually not sad. It's actually just bewilderment. I just actually don't understand. I've got nothing left.
Gordon Bennett, Ray.
Gordon Bennett. I don't understand how you can use more than the two parts that you have when you haven't even started race two yet.
Yeah, it's pretty mad, isn't it?
It's like, just, but it's so traditional Ferrari though, isn't it?
It's like over the whole winter, they were like, oh, we're going to sort out reliability. Yeah. This is what we've been working on.
We've got loads of power. It's just reliability.
We're going to have this special oil from Shell. We're going to have 15 brake horsepower more and so on. Why is it the same issue? What's going on here? Why can't... And it's not like you can blame anyone else. Like you just said, Tomo, it's your engine. So what are we doing? You're disadvantaging your drivers by having them like absolutely petrified that the car's just going to break down at any moment. And now they're visibly saying, look, we're not even good at race pace. We're seeing that Aston Martin's ahead of us. What does that do to the psychology of the drivers at the moment?
Like, Mercedes were ahead of them just now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. On this track.
Mercedes
were
ahead of them.
Yeah, Mercedes were clear.
And I know like Mercedes' problems have been like highlighted quite a lot, but Ferrari, they're not looking good right now.
No. That's what I mean. Like when you consider this time last year, like, wow. The change, like they were, you know, it was a great battle. Charles Verstappen this time last year at Saudi Arabia made it a very good race. You know, this weekend they were the fourth quickest.
It almost seems like it kind of seems like with Ferrari last season as if they had like the wind tunnel fine basically. And because like towards the end of the season they've massively dropped off and Red Bull were kind of flying with it. And it kind of now looks like it's like the leftovers was going on. I will ask you this though, like if Leclerc didn't have to have that engine penalty and was starting front row P2, do you think he would have been able to keep there, or do you think he would have dropped down to about fourth, which is where
I think if anyone could, it's Leclerc because he's just that good a driver.
Do you think he would stay in P2?
But would he have stayed ahead of Verstappen? No,
I don't think
Verstappen would have got.
I think he would have got a podium though.
Yeah, he could have snuck it.
Him and Alonso, we didn't actually get to see that in Bahrain because Leclerc's car broke down, but I think he could be up there. Maximising the limit of the car. I feel like the tyres today.
But that is the limit of the car. Yeah. Like, that is like...
It's difficult because like how much of science falling back was the car not being great or just science being a bit slow.
Yeah.
Mm. You can't really say because Leclerc got to that point, but then on the hards, Leclerc couldn't get past science. Mm. So.
But Leclerc looked quite comfortable in Bahrain before he broke down.
Yeah.
Very comfortable. Like, it was literally like 11 seconds clear, I think. Yeah. At the time.
So it's just about, okay, where is this car really? Is it better than EM? Is it not? We have to kind of...
And yeah, it might be track dependent.
There's been
well.
So much dependent. Talk around Ferrari as well. Like outside, we got, I think it's David Sanchez, who's like head of aero, talking about potentially leaving Lauren Mekis.
David Sanchez has gone.
Has he actually gone to McLaren?
He's
gone to
McLaren now.
Yeah, there you go.
So he's on garden leave at the moment.
Yeah, they've put him on a big garden.
And a lot of people, like Bonotto's guys, are just saying, I'm out.
Yeah.
So... is what's going on over
and there's already there.
There's politics with Vasseur
well Vigner and yeah Vasseur there's already like issues there
but I think also it might be I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I think it might be a good thing because they did need a shake-up within the team because the team have not been in a championship winning position for quite a while. All right, now
so you think Bonotto was you think you should have gone.
No but I think also like it doesn't Bonotto is the team was the team like looking after the team that way. And yeah, Ferrari are very much puppeteering what they're wanting in terms of that. I think Fred can be the turning point for the team. And now you're obviously mentioning that there are key personnel who are leaving, but at the end of the day as well, you got to look at it that they weren't in the championship winning conditions for the previous years. So maybe this might be the change that they're actually needing. I mean, in terms of like strategy, it looked all right to me in today's race. All things considered with the
overcut was actually pretty good.
Yeah, overcut was really good. Yeah. Also, no issues with the pit stops as well. It's small little issues like that, which were really damaging to the team last season.
But that Leclerc safety car thing with Lewis was a little bit sort of like, oh, you could have told me.
Yeah, but
maybe that little communication.
But even then though, it's kind of like, it's small, small crimes. And that's very much
and we're
like,
only highlighting it because it's Ferrari.
Yeah, so. Totally. But it's not like, if it was, it wasn't like sort of last season. So it might be the turning point, but I don't think Fred has been able to actually because he turned over to Ferrari fairly late, I would probably say, in terms of like the actual car development of this kind of this season.
Oh God,
so
he joined in January, didn't he?
He wouldn't have like had his actual stamp onto everything so far, and I know he's already had some.
It's
going
to take a good couple of years for Vasseur to stamp his authority,
which he deserves. Yeah, and I think that's where he's got a confident but calm approach to everything.
Yeah, and what we don't really know is how involved Bonotto was in terms of that technical parts. The team was he so involved that he only knows how to resolve it? Mm. That makes sense. Like these issues with the engine and so on. Bonotto was leading on that.
Yeah, he was an engine man.
He's an engine man.
That was literally his previous role.
Will the new people be able to resolve those issues without Bonotto? Losing Bonotto's technical knowledge, because what Bonotto wasn't good at was being a team principal.
And that's being a team leader.
Him working on the cars, that wasn't the bad part.
The one thing to that though, if you've got Bonotto faithfuls who are leaving Ferrari, which is what's being, you know, talked about, surely that explains that there was I guess maybe because Bonotto had been there for 20 plus years, but you had people loyal to Mattia, and maybe David Sanchez was, I don't know, but like that certainly applies a degree of like personnel management that there's people at Ferrari who, because Bonotto went and they don't feel it was done right, like they're prepared to walk as well. And is all this just a complete, you know, new team principle, all of that a waste of time if Ferrari aren't going to allow Fred to actually just do his own thing?
Yeah.
If you're going to get Vigner and Elkin, you know, still want to keep their noses in, because I think there's a degree of like that the race team wants to operate more independently to the rest of the business.
Mm.
Where you got like McLaren have a race team and a car division. Obviously, yeah. Ferrari's is so old, and it's like the it feels like that from what I've read anyway. It's like the big Ferrari bosses, they still want to keep they still want to be the puppeteers at the very top.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's how you build a successful racing team.
Yeah, I was reading an article, and I think like Vasseur, when he came in, he was asking about sponsors, and he said that's not your concern. And I'm like, that's a team principal role.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
It's part of it. So I don't know whether they're trying to just like sever that, so he only focuses just on the race team and how they operate.
But they have to learn.
But
They have to look at these other teams. CEO.
He wasn't like just normally a team principal at Alfa Romeo. He was running
What Wigner's doing now. He was just doing it at a racing team and not Ferrari. Like,
don't you think Ferrari are always so behind on this sort of stuff though? Like just being a modern Formula One team.
Even like even, social media.
I was literally about to say social media is the example, mate. They've only just started using memes like this.
And that's
like
the thing. And even then, it's that's crazy. Not even Ferrari. That's an agency they do it through.
Who
fully look after it. But I think that's why...
the decision to hire that agency.
Yeah, totally. But I think that's where Fred, obviously he has got the connection somewhat with Ferrari before, you know, with Alfa, and there's little connections there. But... and we've obviously, I think, Prémer as well, when he was in F2.
ART
probably. Yeah, that was it. Which you can draw some links there, but it's not directly with Ferrari. I think someone coming in external from the outset rather than someone coming in through Ferrari like Binotto did. It's a fun noise. sorry, for all those listeners, I just scraped my hand across the 11 carbon fibre table and it made Levy. But having someone come in external, through Ferrari and seeing it and already knowing the team and stuff, you need that refresh and a bit of a shake up.
Yeah.
So even though he's having these conversations now with Ferrari, not knowing what is the terms and conditions for that, I think that's kind of, it's a good stepping stone to potentially something better and rebuilding it.
But that will take a while, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to try to clear out the old and put in the new, we're not talking about, it's only going to be 6 months or so. We're talking about taking people from other teams and they're going to be on Garden Leave and then you have to implement it into the team.
That's what Aston Martin has been
saying. It takes a while to get to that position. And then Aston Martin, you have to wait for a little bit of a while as well while all those people got integrated into the team. So if they give Vasseur the power to do what he wants to do, we might see some positive changes.
Yeah, because I think Fallows joined in 2020, end of 2020, I think I want to say. Like he's actually been at Aston Martin.
Yeah, it's been a while, I think.
Mm. A fair while. And it's taken time for his, you know, philosophies to come in. But yeah, I just, Ferrari pissed me off, man. I'm sorry. Like I it's like when I'm pissed off at West Ham, right? Because I love them. And they're just like continuous, like there's nothing better. The vibes of a Ferrari win and a Ferrari championship going to, like that team is followed like no other team in it. Like no other team has the pull of Ferrari. No other team has the fan base and the dedication. Mm. Like, Mad, you being a McLaren fan who's like really invested, I'd say McLaren are the only other team who have really invested in people to be McLaren fans and not just following drivers.
Because I feel like anyone met an Alpine fan in their life?
They're just like Alpine through and through.
Yeah.
The blood's blue.
Even then, even then, before, you used to have it with Renault because it was like a recognisable brand and be like, yes, it's very French and everything, but like having Renault because of its heritage. But then when it's rebranded, like you said, there is now...
Fernando was winning championships in Renault, like they were Fernando fans. Like, I don't feel like, Renault made cool jets. Fine.
But, they're not wavy to it.
You know what I mean? Ferrari have that... such a unique, and I feel like if the sport, I feel like it does, you know, the potential of the sport, if you've got Ferrari winning at the front, all of that it means so much to the Italians. It's like a, you know, Williams are not part of British culture, like, and they're the most, I would say, the most historic and most like nostalgic team, arguably with McLaren for sure. But I'd say like Williams got so much, and you think if that's ever going to happen to another team, it would be a Williams. And Williams in this generation, because they haven't been doing bits, I think McLaren have done very well on that front. But it's just, it annoys me, man, because I think that Tifosi deserves so much better. And it's just seeing this like managerial incompetence at the very top and continually sticking your nose in, it's never going to lead to success. That needs to change for me before anything else can happen.
It's like leading to your own downfall, basically. It's not external.
Red Bull gave Christian Horner the reins. And you know what? He's continuing, got the right people, got Adrian Newey in early, which is kind of what Aston Martin have got the right person in early, and they can build around that. And that's like a proven, even like Toto owns a third of that team, of Mercedes. And Daimler just give him the reins. They just let him do it. They don't interfere. And Ferrari just continue to interfere, and it does my fucking head in. Should we talk about Mercedes then?
Tell me how you really feel.
As much as it has worked in the past for Toto and Mercedes and that style, certainly right now it doesn't seem to be. Although George Russell podium, obviously, with Alonso's penalty. Big gap between George and Lewis this weekend. What did we make of that?
It got a little bit smaller during the race, but again, it was kind of because of that safety car. Like Hamilton, Lewis being obviously on the... on the mediums after the restart.
Strategy.
Yeah, it benefited him a lot in terms of, you know, being able to move past the Ferraris and stuff. But yeah, there was a little bit of... I think it was more just qualifying. That's more of a concern if you're Lewis, really, right? Because obviously Saudi Arabia last year, the pace difference was, you know, he's tested a lot of things, increased weight on the car in comparison to George, whatever. But this time it was just like actual pace.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's this is going to be the season now where he's properly putting Lewis and George against each other. And to be fair as well, in the previous season, towards the end, that's where like Lewis was very easily sort of beating George. And George was very close as well. It wasn't like he was half a second or whatever qualifying. The gap between them were very, very marginal. But yeah, it was a bit of a rarity, I think, on this one, especially with Lewis. And he said that he's not confident with the car. He's not really getting, he's not really working to his to his style. And it's just been a lot on for Lewis, I think, actually, in terms of like this weekend. Obviously, you got his trainer, Angela, who's now going off to do her own thing. You know, they've all been, we said on the live show earlier that they're all being totally brutally honest about like
everything,
about everything, in terms of like Toto saying if the car's not good in 3-2 years time, Lewis can feel free to go wherever he wants to. But then also Lewis coming out and saying, I told them that the car isn't working and they haven't listened to me.
I told the car.
I knew you were coming. Yeah.
And it didn't go. You're rubbish.
Just get quicker, fam. Jesus.
Saying like this isn't working, and then apparently the engineers ignored it. And you mentioned earlier as well that George sort of said after their Brazil win, it kind of like blinded them a little bit, thinking, oh no, we now have got a winning package.
It was like a forced dawn.
It was a forced
dawn. It almost set him on the wrong path.
It's a bit like Ricardo with Monza. Like it's it's a rarity. Like yes, you've won it on pure pace, but the car is only suited for that real specific track and that real specific conditions.
Yeah. Hence why Lando was P2. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think it was more about ride heights, about Brazil as well. Red Bull messed up their ride heights.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a sprint weekend. They couldn't correct
Red
it.
Red Bull played a worldie there.
Yeah, man.
My games, look.
Adrian knew, man.
It's real mind games. But I think with Lewis and the gap between Russell at the moment, I feel like he's a bit checked out, a bit disillusioned, because he felt like, okay, look, if I'm going to do this, I'm a 7-time world champion, please have me near the front.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting for wins, not fighting for P3, P4.
I think especially after the end of last season, where he was actually fighting for wins.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, it's kind of like Ferrari syndrome of like, you get to that point where everyone's like, okay, well, this is good. We just need that one final step.
Mm.
And then you move like 3 steps backwards again. That to me would be even more frustrating than just never being there.
Your expectations change with time and experience. Talk about YouTube, for example, right? The first time you hit 100 views on a video, it's like, oh, gas. And then like 1,000 views, oh, gas. And then 10,000. And then all of a sudden you go back to 100 and it's like,
what happened?
Your expectations have changed. Yeah, and it's like you expect, the minimum expectation. That's always going to be more difficult. I think Vettel talked about this in terms of like, you know, he didn't want to just like, he'd been winning championships and fighting at the front in his Ferrari years. And like the idea of just settling for being in the mid pack is so much more difficult to stomach, I think, when you're that championship you've won. Yeah. And Lewis has like won more than anyone. And it's like, I mean, looking at qualifying, and he was clearly not as comfortable. He was a tenth slower than George in Q1. Fine, a tenth. About 2 tenths in Q2. And then about 4 tenths in Q3. So that gap grew.
Big gap.
And, you know, in the race, you know, Lewis was behind George, seemingly on the stronger tyre. He was complaining about the hards and he had the mediums on and George had the hards on and wasn't able to get past. You know, I think we saw last year, George can go pretty toe-to-toe with Lewis Hamilton. Like, I think George Russell's proven that he's the real deal.
Yeah.
And it's,
which we knew, which we've known since even in Williams and stuff, in where the team was struggling so much in that he was crying because he got a point, his first point with the team.
Yeah.
And obviously now it's quite regular now Williams are getting it. But it's just showing that like we kind of knew he was already going to be good. But it's exactly what you said of they've had the taste now of like of the better food, and now that they, but you can't get back from that, and you don't want, it's basically like,
but now they're shopping at Iceland again.
Yeah, it's like I'm having fish and chips, and then I discover, oh, I can have salt and vinegar on it, and now I'm having to eat it without that, and it's like, oh, this tastes bland and boring. It's like,
unseasoned car,
exactly that. But now you kind of, now you got the taste of it, you don't want to keep going for it. But I think that's where the conversation keeps coming up of like, oh, is Lewis going to retire? It's like, no, he's not going
to
retire.
He's
just not happy with it, and that's why they need to work through it, so eventually they can get back to having salt and vinegar on their chips.
And listen, if he needs to tell them through the media, he's going to tell them through the media. Like, I'm not happy with it. I'm not comfortable with the car. Like, he's, after his interview and qualifying, he was just saying, I'm not feeling at one with the car. I'm not really feeling like he's on a blind date a little bit, and he's seen the girl and he's like, oh, I don't know, gone to the bathroom. Wait, just can get me out of
here. Pressure onto the actual guys back at the factory.
Nah, it's like that. If you've seen it on YouTube, it's like a series when people do like blind date and there's a button in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they're not happy, then you press it like, right,
Lewis is spamming the button, W14 gear. Out of but honestly, like, obviously this is not just, it's not Lewis's fault or Russell's fault that the car is where it is at the moment, is it? No, there's been a little bit of a technical arrogance with Mercedes. They've been on top for so long.
Yeah.
They said we do it our way, and clearly they got it wrong with the W13, but they're still kind of stuck with that concept and carried on with that. Is there a problem there? They're not accepting that, okay, listen, we need to go back to the drawing board here and maybe accept that we need to be closer to the Red Bull concept, maybe, or
they went even
go or just go completely brand new.
They gambled. It didn't pay. I mean,
yeah.
Lewis has said in an interview after he's happy to finish fifth, which a P8 qualifying, finishing fifth. Like, if you take away Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes as names, you think, oh, you made up three places. But actually, like, this is Lewis Hamilton in a Mercedes. Like, it's crazy. And it's like keeping that, we see it in all different types of sport. Like, domination never lasts forever. And to keep people motivated and people wanting to stay, you had like Eric Blondin, who moved from Mercedes to Aston Martin. Lost a lot of personnel to Red Bull powertrains as well. Like, you feel like that challenge. Part of the reason Lewis left McLaren was because he saw that Mercedes opportunity as something to work on, and it ended up paying off for him. But part of that, I think, is because he wanted to do what Schumacher did at Ferrari and take the team and build it up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did.
It's the motivation to like win the championships. And I think, like, I'm going to make a reference here to Ted Lasso, which is absolutely great. And basically,
as a non-football man.
As a non-football, yeah, no, it's great, isn't it? Look at me, I'm knowing football stuff. Well, in it, basically, they're talking about how they're happy to settle, you know, like sort of eighth in the league.
Yeah.
And the owner of the team is basically like, no, we should always be aiming for winning the Premier League. And that's like, I think that's the main thing with this, that's why I'm relating it to this, is having that motivation and being like, yes, you can settle for like fifth or something, but no, you always want to be trying to win a race. What's the best way you can do it to capitalize on every situation?
Especially when you have been winning races.
Yeah, and you have that sometimes with like those brief little moments, like we mentioned Monza before, both with Ricciardo and also, you know, Gasly as well, where the team on their day have capitalized to get the best of it, to try and get the best result. But rather, you don't want to just be settling for like, you know, like an eighth or something. Like, and that's with like McLaren at the moment, they're just trying to even get points, let alone trying to even get onto a podium, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, my
half second round to that.
Hello, guys.
Take it away.
Not a good weekend. Same as the last race where I was at. I was there in person.
You saw
to see a DNF and last place. So, in wearing McLaren gear, look like an employee. I look like an employee there. And obviously, do you know what? I feel like everybody's got an outside view about what's going on at McLaren and so on. But when the way they communicate with the fans and the way they've actually been quite open with the situation that, listen, we're not where we want to be right now, and that's because we don't have the infrastructure in place to be competing with everybody else. And they've been quite open that this car's not going to be the car that we're moving forward with working into the season. You could see how glum and sad everybody was at our launch. It was like Vicstar trying to hype people up, and I was just like, nobody's
should have given them
I was there for the launch.
How was that for you?
It was because I said this before, like, they had to film the bit with Zach and Andrea twice, so him saying like the car's not, he said that twice, so it was like rehearsed, like in terms of they knew what they were going to say.
Yeah, so there was a reason that they were saying it. It was because they wanted to temper expectations.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, I think they are a real team, which is nice. It's refreshing. And I guess because the expectations haven't been super high, the idea of them being towards the bottom isn't massively. But then you think about it and like, well, 2020, they were quicker than Ferrari. They were the quickest car. And then it becomes a bit more of a, okay, so what is the trajectory? What is this momentum that we talk about with sports teams, F1 teams included?
So for me, I feel like maybe those years kind of hampered McLaren's view, everybody's view of McLaren and what their trajectory is, because at the end of the day, I think they've been quite open. I remember Zach saying, look, new regs were going to be up there again and so on. And that was dependent on the factory and the wind tunnel and all the simulator getting sorted out. That got delayed because of COVID. And
yeah,
that's not been coming out. So they've had to push back expert targets to 2024 and 2026. So 2024 is going to be winning races.
And they had big financial issues as well, didn't they?
Big financial issues during COVID. They had to lay off a lot of staff as well.
Sold the MTC.
So we're talking about a team that was trying to get money in one door while everything's flung out in the other door and having lots of different issues that a lot of the other teams don't really have, but it's about what their recovery is and what their stage is. And I think they've been quite open about, okay, look, the target's changed. We're aiming for 2024 to be competing for race wins. We're aiming for 2026 to be competing for championships. Their targets is not, let's just stay in the midfield. Those years where we were beating McLaren, beating Ferrari in 2020 and so on, that's more due to Ferrari's failures than anything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of said, oh, look what McLaren are doing. But I feel like McLaren were overachieving anyway because they built those cars without having their own wind tunnel, without having all those disadvantages. So
Aston Martin have built this car while using Mercedes wind tunnel.
Exactly.
So having your own wind tunnel is not a... Alpine got their own wind tunnel.
Well, technically, no. Aston do have the wind tunnel. We've seen the outside of it, haven't we?
Yeah, but they use Mercedes.
They use Mercedes at the moment.
They use Mercedes. But I feel like it's not their wind tunnel.
That's a logistical benefit for them because the wind tunnel's in England.
Yeah.
McLaren's one's abroad.
It's Stuttgart, isn't it, or something?
It's in Cologne at the moment. It's the Toyota wind tunnel. Yeah, when you get an upgrade, you have to wait for it to actually be transported back and so on. So there's a lot of difficulties at the moment. Get delivery. Get air freight or something.
Stick it in the axe.
But
Uber Eats.
But I think with McLaren at the moment, it's really about understanding, okay, we took a step back. This 2022 car last year wasn't particularly good. They started working on the 2023 car quite early. Then there was the change of the floor heights that came quite late in the season.
Yeah.
And then once they checked the simulators, they were like, this is bad for us.
Yeah. Well, you know what's mad? It's like we're two races in and we haven't really seen McLaren's pace yet. We haven't been able to.
Like the best ability is reliability, like when it comes to a Formula One car.
But I mean, Oscar Q3 has to be the shining light in all this, because that's the only thing I can think. Because in the races, they've both had issues in both races.
It seems like it went from Oscar, getting hit from the Alpine, which wasn't his fault at all. Then that debris, then obviously that damage affected his front wing. Debris then went back a bit, and it looks like it might have affected Lando, maybe giving a puncture and something affecting his floor as well. It's what I think is what's happened, being reported afterwards. But then it means both of them have to come in, change front wing, or change tyres as well. And then it's kind of like, well, you're then at the back of the race, yes, you have a safety car, but when you're at that point, you can hope that a strategy is going to work off, but probably not.
To be honest, the safety car made it even worse. Because then you got both the Williams, both the AlphaTauris just got a free pit stop or a half free pit stop. So it was just like, a catalogue really of poor fortune, but...
And the car is slow in the straight.
So
for Oscar to even get it into Q3, that's for me. We've got some driver talent here.
What do you make of, I think Oscar's, again, it's been really hard. It's been hard for him to really showcase what he's made of because he's had a poor car and it's had issues. Mm-hmm. What do you make of?
I've been quite impressed. I've been impressed with his kind of like maturity, his kind of professionalism in terms of the way he's approaching.
Yeah, he's very straight-laced, isn't he?
Very straight-faced, very like... on it, doesn't really, haven't seen that major areas where he's just crashing it, been in it, destroying the car. So he looks like he's quite close to Lando. Obviously, we don't really know yet because of the whole situations in the first two races, but he looks like he's quite comfortable in the car and he looks like he's getting better race by race, but even though there's only been two races, because we have to remember this guy had a year out. He wasn't driving a car.
Especially
after the contract situation, Alpine was like, you ain't doing anything there. You're on gardening leave, basically.
I don't like him.
of course. As a Ricardo fan.
He's a Ricardo regen.
And it's literally... It's literally, it's not because of anything he's done at all. Apart from the only thing he's done is replace my favourite driver. And that's the only thing. That's literally it. And
at least you're honest.
Yeah, I have got the bias towards Ricardo, and then Ricardo had an awful season last season. I know I'm not dumb. Like I understand that. And then obviously doesn't even matter if it's Piastri, if it was complete, if it was Hulkenberg, if it was Grosjean, whoever it could have been, Nick Heidfeld. Either way, I would have not liked them purely on the basis just because they replaced it. And I replaced them. And that's my only thing. I think also in the race today as well.
Now, you're more petty than me because when really Perez petty. Replaced Albon, I didn't dislike Perez.
Yeah, I'm just really petty with
that. Yeah, fair enough.
I feel also do feel like a burden on that because I did tweet last year that if Ricciardo got another podium, I'll get the number 3 tattooed and then just the worst season he's ever had. I feel like I'm personally part of it. No, but I do agree though that like, yeah, I think Oscar's doing, I got to admit, he's doing a really, really good job. Although in the race, he did get passed by Lando towards the end. But then they had the little scrap back and forth, didn't they? Which
he made it back through in the end.
But it was all towards like the front, towards the first 3 corners. And that's where it got a bit close a little bit, but they didn't make any contact or anything. But yeah,
it's clean.
Yeah.
Will to will.
Yeah. Fair
and
enough.
I think, look, ultimately, you know, there's been so much talk around Lando Norris. He's proven he can fight for wins. Like, he could be a future world champion given the right car. You know, if Piastri is as good as it's looking, and he's given a pretty good example of himself so far, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, that could be an unreal driver pairing, but will McLaren get the car quick enough to give them that opportunity before they potentially lose again, maybe Lando? Because you could understand if Lando's head gets turned, surely, right now. You could understand it is whether he's got the patience with that team.
Yeah, and 100%. And I think with the situation at the moment, they kind of knew that the car was wrong quite early and started working on this B-spec car that's coming in Baku. And I think from that point, there needs to be progress in terms of moving forward with the car and actually being competitive, being there with like the Alpines and so on, towards the top of the midfield. And I feel like the wind tunnel's done in June. Every single part from that point will be developed in that wind tunnel. There won't really be excuses there for Zach to be saying, okay, look,
you're right.
We need to be, we're in control of our own destiny now, apart from the engine, obviously. We need to be maximizing those situations. I feel like there was an issue as well with getting the right staff in place because we lost a lot of staff. And then they realized, look, we can't fix errors because we don't have enough people in like the aero department or something. Mm. So those plugs need to be filled. If we're not competing, obviously Lando would need to be going. For the sake of his career, right?
Mm. Same as what Toto's saying about Lewis, I guess. Like, if you can't
be top driver, rise to McLaren and
Well,
McLaren Honda has to happen.
But Maconda,
control their own.
Do you know what's
control their own destiny?
I know people look at how McLaren's situation now and say, "Oh, this is bad." That Maconda situation before was bad. Because we spent the same money as like Red Bull, Ferrari.
Yeah.
And we spent like top money, and we were supposed to be winning races. We were ninth in the constructors.
Yeah.
If that happened now, that would be like headline news like it was that.
They need to do a special delivery again, and that's how they get the podium. They need
it's the only way. Yeah.
Bring back the Vodafone sponsorship, the Chrome.
One race only.
I know Lando's wanting it. He's wanting it. Like, but it's just, it's so impractical to have like the Chrome on the car now. Yeah.
It's slow anyway.
It looks so
get in while you're still slow, and then.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So get in for Australia. It will shine nicely.
Yeah. Literally. It looks so mint, but it's also just so impractical for the guys who like doing all the bodywork changes. And everything.
Do a Marlboro one. Let's just sack off the rules about.
Do a Marlboro livery style, but then instead of the Marlboro one, have the, was it Views?
The
vaping brand.
Vape brands. Okay, interesting. We'll see.
That seems mad, actually. Hang on a second. Banned cigarette companies, but then you've got a vape.
One gives cancer and one doesn't.
Doesn't matter. We need Western combat with vaping.
It's not as bad. Yeah, vaping's not as bad, I guess. But.
Lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
Tastes like watermelon as well.
Any other, in terms of, I'm just thinking, before we get to Equal Machinery, because we're getting close towards the end. Any other teams we wanted to shout out? I mean, both Alpines in the points. Kevin Magnussen as well. Snuck that P10.
Trading places with Hulkenberg quite a lot.
Hulkenberg drove into the wall randomly, didn't he?
That was weird. After I gave him a good speech, to be an F1.
It's good to see though that they're on the same level playing field. Like pretty much the whole race, they were like together, swapping places.
Yeah, it was really only towards
towards the end that Magnussen sort of
just that's what Haas need. Yeah. Need him for a while. But other than that, not really much to say. I said a stinker. I don't know how much.
I don't know if there was an issue with the car.
I feel like it was damaged there. Because it wasn't, it was like superhumanly bad pace.
And you know from like Hülkenberg, you could, if you've got a little bit of damage, that can just make you munch through tyres as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's do Equal Machinery then. Final part of the podcast where we, well, what do we do, Niren?
Well,
what do we do?
What is Equal Machinery?
I've never heard of this.
I know, it's crazy.
Tell me, I've never heard this before.
We've got seasoned veterans on the show today. Yeah, Equal Machinery.
I've not heard this one.
So we're at the end of the show where we are allocated drivers or topics or teams.
Oh, shit, not this again.
Yeah, I know. You were great at it.
The waffle I gave last time.
We had Michael Schumacher last time.
Yeah, it was special.
Well, we have to debate.
I had Oscar Piastri last time.
You just didn't like him. Oh, bloody hell.
We have to debate basically who we think would win in Equal Machinery. At the end, we decide whether we actually meant it or not.
Exactly. Wheel knowledge is awful.
Our topics by producer Lewis. Who have we got?
Well, so we're actually going for who will finish higher in the championship this year.
Oh, okay.
That is the debate. So, I mean, we kind of... It's more the equal section, not the equal machinery.
But I prefer this because at least I know he's a driver.
So we're all allocated a driver and we have to argue that they will finish ahead of the rest this season, whether you believe it or not. Okay, if you don't believe it, then you have to lie.
Do we have to speak in these posh voices?
I can definitely do that.
I can absolutely do that as well.
Exceedingly.
I sound like George Russell.
Oh, crikey.
So I have been allocated. Any visual viewers are in for a treat with Matt's face right now. Look at that.
Hello, everybody.
I've got George Russell. Niren has Charles Leclerc. Ooh. Matt has Lance Stroll.
Oh, fuck, come on.
You can do that.
You've been done dirty again.
And Mahad has Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, like it.
So,
producer Lewis, have you got a vendetta against me here? What's going on here, mate?
That's all right.
It's just fun to see you squirm. He's in the Aston Martin, remember? So
that's all I'd say.
Anyone feeling confident to start first? Let me get the timer up. Anyone feeling particularly confident? Yeah, man.
Yeah, you want to go first?
I'll
go first.
You're arguing that Charles Leclerc is going to finish ahead of Russell, Stroll, and Hamilton.
All right, sensational stuff.
In 3, 2, 1, activate.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, look, listen, that Ferrari. Look, they might not be great at organising people, yeah? But he is great at driving cars, all right? He would have been second on the grid, Saudi Arabia, without the engine penalties. They've got the engine penalty out of the way early doors. Don't need to do it again. That's not how it works, but it's fine. Get it out of the way early. It's fine. You know, honestly, genuinely, Charles Leclerc's pace in that Ferrari, it's a bit of a free-for-all. Below Red Bull, you know, realistically, we're going to have Verstappen and Perez at the top. But I genuinely believe Charles Leclerc could be the best of the rest because his one lap pace, especially to get himself into positions where he's starting high up the order, is second to none. Definitely better than like Stroll, probably better than the Mercedes that Hamilton has right now. And better than whoever you have. I've already forgotten who you have. But genuinely speaking, Charles Leclerc's pace that he showed at Saudi Arabia already gives me the hope that he can do that. And at Bahrain too. Oh,
okay. Yeah, who did you have again, Tommy?
George Russell.
Yeah, fully forgot.
Anyone want to jump in next?
Go on, mate.
Sir Lewis Hamilton
is better. He's going to finish ahead in points of Leclerc, Russell and Stroll in 3, 2, 1, go.
Sir Lewis Hamilton. Knighted. 100 plus wins. More than all three of these drivers combined.
Definitely more.
Once he's in a vehicle, that actually can give him race wins. He will take the opportunity.
It's very ASMR.
So when Baku comes around and Mercedes gives the upgrades and Toto says, you know what? We'll listen to you this time. You know, we'll make the car the way you want it. We will see the Lewis Hamilton of old. We'll see the 7-time world champion. We'll see the guy that Max is out redlines cars when they have the capability of winning. And with that, he will use the experience and all these splendor and fits that he uses when he goes to the track to outshine every single one of these drivers.
Drip Lord.
George will be saying, "Core blimey."
Your voice is so smoothing.
It's really,
it's
yeah.
Such, it's like a bedtime.
Have you worked on radio?
Like, it's like a, like on a Magic of him.
It's like, it's like a bedtime story being told to me. I love that so much.
Magic 105. Now my mum used to listen to it all the time when I was a kid. That's literally all that would be on the radio. Right, okay. Matt, I'm gonna go before you because
I was gonna say, I think you need to go.
Yeah, okay.
You need to do the direct Lewis versus George.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
get the rebuttaling.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Go. So Ferrari incompetent. They can't do it consistently. Fair. Mercedes were clear of Ferrari this weekend. It won't be the only weekend this year, let's be real. Aston Martin in a good position, but I don't think Lance Stroll's not, he's not got the dog in him. I'm sorry. He's improved, but he's no Fernando Alonso. Consistently over the course of the year, I think he will make mistakes. I don't think he'll be as consistent as gorgeous George Russell. The man doesn't miss unless he, you know, swerves into Zhou Guanyu and makes him flip over or crashes into Carlos Sainz. But anyway, they're in the part. Oh, Bottas the year before that. Anyway, so George Russell,
he's squirming.
Mr. Consistent. You know, you got to say 2-0 in qualifying so far this season against Lewis. I think in the race, didn't really look too in danger. Is much more comfortable in that car currently as it is. Yes, it's a bit of a shitbox right now, but ultimately he's getting more out of that shitbox than Lewis is right now. And expectation, we talked about this earlier in the podcast, Lewis has got high expectations, George has got lower expectations. He's going to be motivated. He's going to be more able, I think, to push through this struggle and do bits. Done.
You, I don't know why you seem quite squirmy there. Like you, like it's like as if someone had a gun to your head, being like, we had ASMR bedtime story over here.
Stress.
I'm under the table.
So like, I'm going to miss my train.
Isn't that what the A stands for in ASMR? all right, finally.
Are you ready for this waffle?
Match you.
It can only be better.
Aim it.
Right, now going into this, just remember this is complete opinion. No, I'm not starting yet. I need the pretense here. This is not factual at all. If you want to see what my previous one was about Oscar Piastri, that's a great example of
He's lying.
It is. It's 1,000%.
Why are you lying?
His beliefs.
Okay.
Matt Amis. Go.
Really simple. Sir Lewis Hamilton. Washed. Mercedes. Washed. Ferrari. Washed. Lance Stroll. He's come back now. He was at the very back of the grid, and now he's come back. He's got a new hand, which, I mean, is proving work here. And literally, in this example, he just drove the car too quickly that the car couldn't stop and they had to break down. Now, comparing him to Fernando Alonso, the old man here, he can't even see anymore. He can't even park into a grid box,
Fernando's
left alone.
Not even involved. So you're just people.
Yeah, no, comparing him and basically... Well, no, he said earlier, you know, Alonso, I'm saying Alonso here, and so I'm saying, like, well, that's why he's better than his teammate. Now, if you look at the standings, if you look at the real facts here, yes, Lance is pretty much at the bottom of all of them, but that's basically due to the car breaking down. But it's not like a Mercedes, which is washed, or a Ferrari, which is washed, because that's on the team. Whereas Aston Martin, they're already showing pace here, and he was recovering from his hand in Bahrain. That's why he wasn't on the top form.
That is like F1 Twitter in real life.
Yeah, basically. Come after me, please don't. I love you all. All lies.
Hashtag washed.
Yes,
okay. Washed. So, who's talking real?
I'm getting a feeling Matt might not have been talking.
I don't think I was real.
I only heard facts. You were not being real. I think that you were genuine.
Mm.
I think you were chatting shit.
Do not lose my job at Magic FM. I do not want to.
I agree with you. Okay, agree with you. Near as well.
I think Stroll finishes ahead of all of them. That's my answer.
What, really?
Yeah.
Aston Martin's that good.
I think Aston Martin's that good.
The thing is,
thank you.
No, you know what? Like,
I don't believe him. But that's
you shouldn't believe me whatsoever. But
if you actually gave them all the same car, like in terms of like reliability, for a reliability perspective,
they crash each other out.
I genuinely think Charles Leclerc would come out on top. Mm. We do have to remember Ferrari's like general level of incompetence.
Yeah,
and I did mention the engine penalty in that. They are going to get a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
During this.
But in this one, though, is who's going to get higher in the championship, not necessarily equal machinery.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, I think the engine penalties are going to slap him.
But that's the thing. I do feel bad for Leclerc because it's not his fault.
Yeah, no,
I do think Lance Stroll is going to actually, joking aside, I do think he's going to get them. And I think that's more primarily on the car now working properly and more suited to both of them. But I can't see that with George. And the only reason he's underneath the standings is just purely because of the base
retirement.
Which wasn't his fault.
I think he would be pretty much level with like a Lewis or Sainz, maybe like 1 point behind.
The thing is, if Aston Martin, like we were saying earlier, right, they've already got seemingly second quickest overall package, and then this ATR time, and they absolutely nail it with all this ATR time that they've got. They could make a car that is clear of Ferrari and Mercedes, quite conceivable, like clear. Like I'm talking like Red Bull levels of clear.
I don't think
if Stroll is in a clear car, he'll beat all three of them.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that difficult either because like. And look at both Mercedes and Ferrari.
Make a quicker car, it's easy.
Yeah, no, but I mean it's in like...
Fix your fucking car.
I just mean from the level of like, it's not like Ferrari and Mercedes are anywhere near Red Bull.
No.
Like there's so much space in between there to like actually put themselves like clear. Even if they're not challenging Red Bull still, but like just put themselves to a point where they're 10 seconds away from Ferrari and Mercedes at the end.
If Dan Fallows starts getting in his bag... And he just does one massive upgrade and it's just like...
It's game over. It's game over.
He's renewing.
Yeah. Well, look, George has got the most points of all of them that we've talked about so far. He's only got one more than Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
I just think George is a lot more comfortable in this car. I would not, like... If I had to put money on it now, I would say George outscores Lewis like over the course of this season because he's just a lot more comfortable in that car right now. And I think they're going to be... Even if they were both equally comfortable, which I think they were equally uncomfortable in that car last year, there's not much in it. I wouldn't be surprised if George outscores Lewis again, like because of this inherent like discomfort that Lewis has got with the car right now.
Yeah.
And I think Lance is the most compelling alternative to George.
He's been the biggest surprise for me where...
Like, I'm still going to say George.
Lance has got no wrists and his big toe's broken.
Yeah. And I think like it's...
And he's still performing.
Like Aston was a big surprise for all of us.
George,
I mean, Aston's step up was a big surprise for all of us. But I was more surprised that Lance was actually kind of keeping to the same pace as Alonso in some cases.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, oh, you actually...
He was not, only half a second.
Yeah, because we would always joke about him not being great, being able to pay in penny drive and what have you. But now he's actually... And he's had good runs before. He's obviously got pole positions before. But... This has been kind of the first example. I need to give him a bit more credit where credit's due because he's performing really well. And also, he might be still suffering a bit from his wrist, but
wrist are compromised, big toes compromised. He's putting his foot down.
Yeah, and also missing the 3 days of testing as well. So coming in from doing that,
yeah, genuinely,
he actually
you could have made an actual argument for Stroll.
I could have, and I'm slowly doing it as well.
Washed. Okay, well, let us know what you think if you're watching on YouTube in the comments. Who do you assign with? What did you think, Noam, by the way?
I half believed what I was saying was Leclerc, but no, I do actually. Yeah, I think Stroll.
Yeah.
I think the Aston Martin car development.
No, Matt was just
take this way too seriously. Yeah. This is the reason why, boys.
It was Matt's compelling argument.
Just act like if you're on F1 Twitter.
Yeah. You'll get by. Sorted. It's calm.
Please don't cancel me.
I think Aston's just going to go clear. Just during the course of the season.
I don't think
they'll challenge for the title, constructors or drivers, but I think...
clear of the rest, maybe.
I think they can genuinely have like a little bit of space between themselves and...
Good afternoon,
Mark.
Right, let's wrap it, mate. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening, wherever you are in the world. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pixo. Magic FM.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Magic FM. Yeah.
Catch me on McLaren Fan TV.
That's indeed. It.
After every race weekend on a Tuesday.
You and Pete shooting the shit.
Me and Pete. Shout out to Pete. And catch me on Pit Stop Fracker, the number one F1 debating show, where it's the Royal Rumble. And I host it. And we drop episodes every Monday. So check us out.
Do you have like a sound effects in it? I need to get sound effects on my live streams.
Yeah, we're going to start the sound.
Yeah, I need to invest in that.
We do fight cards. We do. It gets contentious, you know. But yeah, if you guys ever want to debate, come through.
All right. Absolutely, mate.
I'm staying clear of that because I cannot debate.
What are you working on at the minute, Matt? What's going on?
You can click the link in the description to see my channel. If you want to learn about Formula One, behind the scenes stuff, which is not about current stuff. It's more about, how's an F1 trophy made? Oh, I want to see how an F1 car gets crash tested in lovely slow motion. That's the kind of videos I make. And recently I went to Germany to see a man who's selling a motorhome from Racing Point. He's literally got an old motorhome selling it for $500,000. So I went to go over and film it. So
bargain.
There you go.
Whip round, lads. Bucks. We can get them.
Yeah, I reckon we can.
Yeah, move the set in there. Go fully mobile.
Yes. Yeah, and drive
the road. Last lap on the road.
Yeah.
In a caravan.
Little studio setting. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Good stuff.
Niren, mate. Pleasure as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What are you working on, Niren?
What am I working on at the moment?
Fulham record.
Probably whatever just happened in the Fulham United game. Football this season. I'm going to try and do a video where I go over the entire football. It's going to be like 45 minutes long. That's going to be fun.
Didn't you recently just do your 200th episode of
FTW?
FTW.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Quadrant banger as well.
Quadrant. Yeah. It's going to be kick off.
Mario Kart. Awesome.
Yeah.
Whoever produced that and edited that completely was the real hero there.
Yeah.
Real hero. Thank you again. Like and subscribe. 5-star. All that stuff. And we'll see you next week for the little break between this and the Australian
Grand Prix. We'll have a podcast out on the Tuesday, and then it'll be the live show for Australia, the graveyard shift
up early.
Yeah
good day, mate.
Sensational. Crikey.
Later, everyone.
Peace.
Bye bye.